Lord, we just ask that as we come before you now, as we open the Bible, that you would speak to us. Lord, quieten our hearts and our minds so that we can focus on you and hear you as you speak. And we ask this in your name. Amen. Now, I want you to cast your mind back a couple of years. For some of us, it'll only be a few years. For others of you, it might be a few decades. But I want you to cast your mind back to when you were a child. Can you remember when you were introduced to perhaps some distant family member that you hadn't seen for a long period of time? Can you remember what they would often say? Number one, they'd probably greet you, but then they would say something along these lines like, "Wow, look how much you've grown." Okay? I think we've all done that to people. And we've all had people do that to us. Of course, at our age now, certainly at my age, the last thing I want people to tell me is, "My, you've grown," because that means I've grown sideways. But we do that with younger people, don't we? In fact, it happened to our kids just the other day. Someone hadn't seen them for a while, and they mentioned that. Now, in many ways, it's a great thing to say. But in some occasions, isn't that really just stating the obvious? Wouldn't it be more appropriate to say, if a child hasn't grown, "Wow, you haven't grown"? Because that's what we expect of children, isn't it? We don't expect a 12-year-old to be the size of a 12-month-old, do we? The natural thing is that children grow. In fact, growth is part of this world, isn't it? We see plants growing, we see animals growing, even businesses grow. And of course, what do we expect our money to do when we invest it? We expect our money to grow. Growth is part of this life. And if something doesn't grow, what do? We either cut it down, or we change businesses, or we reinvest our money somewhere else. But how often do we ever apply the idea of growth to our spiritual life? You see, too often this question of growth is seldom spoken about when it comes to the Bible. Growth is the last thing that we often think about when it comes to our spiritual lives. Often we become a Christian, and then what do? We sit back and we say, "I'm now a Christian. I don't have to do anything more. I know about Jesus. He's forgiven me. That's that." And we stop growing as a Christian. And so when life disrupts our normal life, we don't know how to respond. We struggle to handle situations, and we end up often bringing the name of Christianity into disrepute because of our lack of growth. Now, in the passage in front of us this morning, from verse 14 through to verse 21, Paul prays a prayer to God that all the Christians, of course he's speaking primarily here to the Christians in Ephesus, although that applies to all Christians, that he says in the second half of verse 19, he says he prays that we would all be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. What's Paul meaning? Well, simply, he's saying that I pray that you would grow more and more in your understanding of who God is, so that you might be like God himself. After all, remember what Paul has been showing us in this letter so far, that we have every spiritual blessing in Christ, that Jew and Gentile, black and white, young and old, are all one nation in God's eyes, that Paul has given us freedom to share this message with the world, and that we should not want to only find out more, but to honor God in the way that we live our lives. So how does Paul ask then, or show us, how we should grow as Christians? My first point this morning, pray. Verse 14 and 15. For this reason I, that's of course Paul, says, I kneel before the Father, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Paul says that the way that we begin our growth as Christians is by praying. Of course, Paul includes all nations and all people, all race groups in God's kingdom. And he kneels before God. Now, it's interesting that Paul mentions the fact of kneeling. Although many of us probably don't kneel so much today when we pray, in Paul's time, kneeling was quite significant. In fact, in the Bible, kneeling before God was a sign of allowing God to work in our lives. You would kneel before a king to show servanthood to the king. And so kneeling before God here is not so much the way Paul prayed, but more the attitude of Paul in his prayer, in the sense that he submitted himself to God as he prayed. Unlike many of us who perhaps when we pray we almost demand from God, Paul gets into the position of a servant, humbles himself before the Lord, and prays. So what does Paul pray? In my second comment, well, he asks God. In fact, Paul asks God for two things here. Firstly, Paul asks God to be strengthened. Verse 16 and 17. Paul says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he, God, may strengthen you, that is us as Christians, with power through his Spirit in your or our inner being. It's interesting. Remember where Paul is writing this letter from. Can you remember? Paul is in chains in a Roman cell. He is writing this letter. How would our prayer begin? We would say, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives his name. I pray that, Lord, you would rescue me from my prison cell. That's how you and I would probably pray this prayer. But notice what Paul does. Paul prays that God's riches would strengthen us through the power of the Spirit in our inner being. He focuses his prayer for strength to those he is writing about, rather than on himself. Now, in our lives these days, we often need strength to get through the troubles that we face. Sometimes our strength comes from family and friends. Sometimes our strength comes from outside forces. But the strength that Paul is praying that we would have is different from what the world offers us. The strength is a strength that flows out of God's glorious riches. In other words, the strength that Paul is praying about is a limitless strength that is abundantly available. Of course, this isn't just mere physical strength or mental strength. It's not the kind of strength that is spoken about in those self-help books that we can find that fill every bookshop, including Christian bookshops. Rather, it is the strength that gives us power through the Spirit that lives in us. This strength, of course, is none other than the strength of God himself. The strength we need as we battle against our daily issues, as we battle against the sin in our life, as we battle with strained relationships, as we battle with financially difficult times, as we battle with our health, God gives us a strength beyond any that anyone else can give us. Perhaps we can put this another way. As we face our own troubles and temptations in life, the Holy Spirit gives us strength and power so that we will not fall away or give up in the Christian faith. We were watching a movie the other day, and the main characters in the movie were having a really difficult time to doing whatever they needed to do. And their coach said to them, "Do the words give up mean anything to you?" And of course the answer of the athletes was, "Not a thing." That's what the strength of God does for us as Christians. It means that regardless of whatever situation we find ourselves in, we have the strength of God with us. It means that whatever struggle we might be facing as a church, we have the strength and the power of God in us, helping us. And Paul asks that we would have that strength. And he sums up in verse 17, the first half of verse 17 of chapter 3. He says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Paul prays that we would be strengthened. How? As Christ is the center of our lives. As Christ becomes the center of everything. As Christ takes up the position in our life, he gives us strength to live the lives that are pleasing to him, regardless of where we find ourselves. We just sung that great hymn, "Because he lives, I can face tomorrow." That is the strength that God gives us. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because why? I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Paul asks that we would have the strength of the Lord Jesus in us through the Holy Spirit living in our hearts. But the problem is that either we don't have Jesus living in us because we've never acknowledged that we need someone to rescue us from our sin, or, more likely, we have stopped growing as a Christian and we are no longer reminding ourselves of the strength and the power that we have in Jesus. Friends, I think all of us need to pray this prayer, don't we? All of us need to really kneel before the Lord, come before him humbly, and ask that he would strengthen us. But notice, secondly, that Paul doesn't just pray for strengthening, but he prays for understanding, that we would have an understanding. You see, as Christians, we have the strength within us. As Paul has already said in chapter 1, that we have every spiritual blessing in Christ. But often, we fail to recognize it because we do not know or have continued to grow in our understanding of who God is. See, look what Paul prays, the second half of verse 17. "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love..." Or put that another way, "I pray that you, having the strength of God within you," verse 18, "may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge." See, friends, are we rooted and established in the love of God? Have you or I accepted the work that Jesus has done on the cross? Friends, if we haven't, then we need to come to Him today and ask for His help. But if we have, then this second part of Paul's prayer is for us. That we would grasp, that we would know the love of God. And notice here that these words to grasp and to know, in fact in the original language, those words are ongoing words, like grasping and knowing. They are words that we never reach a point where we say, I have grasped. They are not past tense. They are ongoing. We should constantly be grasping and learning and knowing more about God Himself. If we go back to the illustration of the little child, and you think back to not only when those people came and asked you, my, you've grown, but think back to your school and what you learnt at school. We're facing this problem in our own home. I did maths right up to matric, core maths. But if Andrew or Megan come and ask me about maths today, it takes me 3 hours to figure out just their question before I can help them. Why? Because I've forgotten what I once knew. And so I sometimes joke with the kids and say to them, I've forgotten stuff they don't yet know. But you see, that's what happens with us in the Bible, isn't it? We learn. We might have at some point in our past spent some time studying God's Word. We knew the stuff, but now we've forgotten it. We can't remember it anymore. And so, friends, the only way to keep knowing the love of God and grasping God's love for us is to constantly be working with it. The one area of maths that I can still do is trigonometry. Why? Because I worked with it. It was part of my job. And so I understood it. I can still largely do it. Because I constantly worked with that element. And so, friends, it's the same with God's Word. If we think, oh, well, I've read Ephesians before, why do I need to worry about coming and listening to some talks on it? Well, friends, let's be reminded again. Let's remind ourselves so that we can continue to grow and know and grasp and understand what God has done for us. Paul continues, and he says in the first half of verse 19 that we must never stop finding out more about God's love and to know the love which surpasses knowledge. Paul says here, don't ever stop learning. Don't ever think you have reached a point in your Christian life where you can now put your Bible down and say, I know it all. I've been to Bible college. Yet, those of you who've come to Bible study will sometimes know that when you've asked me a question, I do not know the answer. I need to continue working in God's Word so that I might know how to answer. So how much more for all of us then, that we constantly are rooted in the love of God and rooted and established in it, as we read the Bible together. So that's Paul's prayer. Paul prays that we would be strengthened. Paul prays that we would have understanding. Why? Well, my third comment this morning. He prays this so that we will grow. Paul wants all people to know of God's love. His primary concern is not for his own life and his own troubles, but rather that all the people around him would know and grasp the love of God. He prays that we would be strengthened in the fact that God lives in us, in the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. And he prays that when we know we have Jesus in our lives, that we would grow in understanding. So look at the second half of verse 19. He says he prays all of this that you might be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. In a nutshell, what Paul is saying is he prays that all this would happen to us so that we might grow in maturity in Christ. The fullness of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so to be filled with the fullness of God means to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we are strengthened with power through the Holy Spirit in our inner being, and as we grow in our understanding of the love of God. Two questions we need to ask, friends. Do you and I have the strength of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, in our life? Friends, if we don't, we need to sort that out before we are overcome by the world. But if we have the strength of God in our life, if we have accepted Jesus into our hearts, then are we growing in our understanding of what he has done for us? As I close, perhaps the thought on our lips as a Christian should be, how do I continue to grasp and know this love of God? Well, the simple answer is by reading your Bible. Of course, that would mean we'd have to make time in our life to do that. It means that we make time in our life not only to do that as individuals, but to do that as a group, like we are doing now. Of course, it means we also are eager to learn more about God. And so when God's word has been explained and spoken, we want to be there. But growing in the Lord also means that we talk to him in prayer. Again, making time to pray, and in asking God to help us to honor him with our lives. The remaining three chapters of this letter, Paul speaks about how we honor God with our lives. Because true Christians grow in their understanding and work hard towards maturity. So notice how Paul finishes off this section in chapter 3. He says, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power at work within us. In other words, what is Paul saying? If we ask God, he will do more than we can imagine or anticipate. But we need to walk close with the Lord. So don't limit God by not accepting Jesus into your heart. Rather, grow, grow, grow. Let's pray. Lord, we do just come before you this morning, and we just want to thank you for your word again, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for showing us in your word how we are to grow, how we should pray to you, how we should ask you for strength and for understanding. But Lord, help us never to get to the point where we think we know it all, but help us to learn in our knowledge and understanding of your great love. And we ask this in your name. Amen.